Now the time to read the Word of God and hear it expounded. And so let's turn in the Scriptures of God's Word to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24, we'll be reading verses 1 through 31. Matthew 24, 1 through 31. We'll begin in verse 1. These are the words of the living and true God. And so give your attention to them. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. For those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things out that are in his house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. And if anyone says to you, 'Beloved,' or 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, 'Behold, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. Or 'Behold, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall away from the skies, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he'll send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other." And that is God's Word. Now Jesus, until this point, has been speaking very practically concerning salvation and the fruit produced by those who profess to be God's people. But now Jesus speaks prophetically about something that is yet to come at that time as he told this. And he does so outside of Jerusalem at the Mount of Olives. And he tells them about the temple, that it will be destroyed. And that temple, we know, has been destroyed. The disciples want to know when and what will be the sign of his coming. Well, there will be these birth pangs, that is verses 5 to 7, that will be certain things that happen throughout the world. False Christs, wars, famines, earthquakes, things that we have in our day. And still, as they, from that time until now, continue to have these things. There will be persecutions. Christians who are murdered, hated because of the name that they have upon them, the name of Jesus. Still today we have these things. And in those persecutions, many professing Christians who are no Christians at all will fall away. There will be false prophets misleading many. Lawlessness will increase. Immorality will increase. And in the midst of the curses or the judgments that are going to come, these, we might say, compared to what will come, these little judgments, there's blessing giving, or a promise of blessing to God's people in verses 13 and 14. A message of hope in the midst of all this evil and all these things going on. It says, "But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved." And that's not necessarily saying he who endures physically, but the one who endures in their soul, who perseveres, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And so the promise that the gospel will go forth to all nations throughout the world before the final judgment. And we have been given as instruments to serve that purpose in proclaiming the gospel. And then the great judgment, again promised that would come upon Jerusalem, the temple, and all the city would be destroyed, a destruction that would be so great it would be incomparable to all other cities being destroyed. It's often said that that, of course, has happened in 70 AD when Rome destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. And finally, in our passage, at the end, it seems all these birth pangs, all these things that we experience today, the people who say they're the Christ, or, hey, this is the Christ, and there's wars and rumors of wars, and there's earthquakes, and there's various destructions like that. Those were just birth pains. Those were just a glimpse of the final judgment, the great judgment to come. That being the sign of the Son of Man coming with the trumpet sounds and the gathering up of His people, all who believe that which, again, we have hope in ourselves and our souls. There are promises here of great judgment. But for all who would believe, great promises of blessing in the midst of it. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel where Your Son died for our sins and our guilt upon Himself, taking that upon Himself. And He did not only die, but He rose from the dead to secure our justification, to guarantee as a seal, even by Your Holy Spirit, that we would be with You forever and ever, because You have made us those who are righteous in Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, even this day we ask that You would move us to believe and to help our unbelief. We still live in a fallen, sinful world. We see these birth pangs all over the place. Signs that we live in a fallen world and signs that you are going to come as you promised again. And so, Father, we hope in that day when you will send your Son in great power and glory with the trumpets sounding, where we will join Christ in the clouds to come to that great destruction of this creation. Father, we're thankful for your Son being the King. And here we see Him not only as the King, but as the Prophet and the Priest who takes care of our souls and who promises us blessing. Father, we pray that we would not see you as a God who is merely someone we use to get blessing, but that you would be all that we desire. And Father, help us to learn that this day as we study the fourth commandment and the Lord's Day. May you be everything to us. Father, in these things, also, we pray that you would be with our bodies. We have bodies that are frail and that struggle. And so we pray for those who are struggling in their bodies that you would heal them or strengthen them and strengthen them, knowing that you will keep your promises to your people to be our healer of all diseases. You'll take away all the pain and the tears and sorrow. And Father, be with our souls. Strengthen us to resist the evil one, that he would flee from us. That we would take upon us the armor of God, your armor, which is the Word of God, all of it, in some fashion. And take hold of that even this day. And Father, we do continue to pray for Jody and Renee and Phyllis and their family. Strengthen them in their souls and their bodies, their mental capacities that have been thrown out of whack. Strengthen them and cause your people to be a church, to mourn with those who mourn, and to aid those who are in need. And gracious Father, we ask that you would be glorified and praised. We thank you that you're a great God who is the creator of all things and the sustainer of all things. And you order everything that happens, your people and all their actions according to your will, according to your plan. And so as we continue in worship and as we prepare ourselves for the coming week, Lord, give us comfort in our circumstances because of the comfort we have in you and you alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.